Bradley University. This is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Alex Ruscianno. Mayors from across the state are warning lawmakers about rising pension costs that they say will pack a serious financial punch if left unaddressed. That was one message from Peoria Mayor Jim Artis speaking to Peoria Downtown Rotary Club members earlier this month. He spoke about the need for lawmakers in Springfield to find ways to fix the pension crisis while not burdening cities across the state. Artis spoke about pensions after updating Rotary members on other issues affecting Peoria. Today's Outside the Horseshoe program includes portions of audio from the May 2nd Peoria Downtown Rotary Club meeting, starting with Mayor Artis talking about the financial toll that this last winter took on the city.
We already know that the winter that we just had blew about a $2 million hole in our budget between supplies to treat our streets and overtime for our public works people to remove the snow. Hit us for about $2 million that we didn't have budgeted. The number's going to be higher because we all know what this winter did to our streets that we're going to have to take care of, too. So it's, you know, things like that that are constantly issues that are constantly coming up that we have to be able to change speed. And I think that really that plays to our advantage with a two-year budget because we can see how some of those unforeseen expenses that come up move the bar on what we had in the out years. We're really excited about transitioning into a couple of the things that are going on. Some of the things that you hear a lot about are the warehouse district and the growth in the warehouse district and really the energy in the warehouse district. With all the road construction that's been happening the last couple of years, thanks to the Tiger grant that we got, along with some other state and local money, it's been a mess down there. And people have really, I think, had a difficult time wrapping their minds around what is all this? What's it really going to do? But now that we're getting towards the end of this first stage, I think people are really seeing the attractiveness of some of the streetscape, and we certainly have gotten a lot more interest from developers that are anxious to look into the warehouse district, not only for business and commercial projects, but also understanding the real gap that we have had down there for a long time when it comes to the residential community. There's a lot of people that are anxious to live downtown, to be closer to work downtown, and we're going to finally be able to provide a lot of those opportunities. Crime numbers and the Don't Shoot program is always something that's been really interesting. We're starting to see, after a year and a half of a lot of focused attention, a lot of the numbers come down as it relates to gun crime in Peoria, which is that's what Don't Shoot is about. I can't even begin to imagine how many hours and hours have been put in by a lot of people to understand what Don't Shoot has done in High Point and other areas of the country, but also to bring it here and educate people and help people understand what it is and what it isn't. I'm very optimistic that it's going to be successful here in the long run, just because it has been so successful in other places. And really, for the short window of time that we've been working on this, when we talk to people in the other communities that have used this model, they just talk about how far ahead we are in the game of really getting the community support, getting the work done to identify the people that are committing these gun crimes, get them prosecuted and get them off the streets, but at the same time help the people that find themselves caught in that vicious cycle, help pull them out of there and get them job training, many times substance abuse counseling and help, anything we can do to help them be productive members of our society, which that part of it gets overlooked, I think, because of the angle that, you know, it's basically zero tolerance if you do use a gun. I'm also probably a little bit more cautiously optimistic just because, I mean, it was a long, cold winter, and it's been a relatively cold, wet spring, too, and you know, that has an impact on a lot of these people's ability to be out creating hazards and havoc in our neighborhoods. So we're moving in the right direction, and you're never going to find a situation where you tackle a problem that big that it's an instantaneous, you have a program that's going to be, I was going to say, a silver bullet, and it just didn't fit right. But you don't have a, and I don't say that, I just doubt. You get where I was going, but I was trying to think of a different word. But there's not a silver bullet response to a situation like this, and I think that the community is really starting to embrace what we're trying to do with gun crimes in Peoria. So I said earlier, just talking about the city and the budget and some of the things, I spent the better part of two full days down in Springfield this week. As I look out and see David Leach out here, I just got to say, you just can't really appreciate what it means to have a rock-solid representative for you in Springfield with a really strong foundation that understands what the people that they represent are going through. There's a lot of people down in Springfield that, let's just say this, there's a lot of special interest in Springfield, to say the least. And to have somebody like David Leach, who has represented this area for so long and done so many good things, brought so much back to us. And I'm not just talking about, you know, making sure we get road money and making sure we get this and that. But when you look at the different areas of our community that Dave's been involved with, I don't have enough time to read them all. But, you know, I specifically think about the mental health part of our community and the innovative things that Dave has done to really help people recognize a lot of issues that are out there and what we need to do to address them. But not to get too far off track, but after spending 2 days in Springfield, I really appreciate a lot more the people that we have representing us down there, and there's none better than Dave Leach. So the majority of the time that we were down there, we had mayors from throughout the state with really the sole reason to put pressure on some. For one thing, there's a couple bills that are particular to firefighters that are going to have a potential devastating additional cost to us, but also just to talk about pensions and really the unsustainability of pensions as we have them right now. For every dollar that the city pays in a firefighter's salary, we pay an additional 50 cents to fund their pension. With police officers, it's 41 cents per dollar. There are 660 different pension boards across the state. Everybody does their own little pension thing independent of everybody else. So the administrative costs for those pension funds are taking money out of the potential dollars that we have available for their pensions. In Peoria, the police and fire pension funds paid out almost $1 million in administrative costs last year. More than 4% of the actual benefits that were paid just for the companies that were managing their funds. In 2008, just so you kind of can see where we've gone, in 2008, we paid $29.2 million for police and fire salaries. In 2013, we paid $33.8 million, 16% increase. In 2008, we paid $8.2 million into their pensions. And in 2013, we paid $13.7 million in towards their pensions. That's a 67% increase over 5 years. From 2007 to 2012, fire pensions were supposed to generate $49 million, and they actually generated, this is the pension part, this is their part of the equation. It was supposed to generate 49, and they actually generated 12.3. That was the fire side. The police side expected to generate $63 million, and they lost $20 million. Over that 5 years. Now, look, you know, 2007 to 2012 was pretty bad for everybody, so I'm not, but 63 to minus 20 is, last time I checked, about minus $83 million that they were supposed to pay into it. So when we talk about unsustainability, you don't have to have a calculator out, you don't have to be a math major, you just have to be able to understand numbers. One of the examples that one of the mayors used, just for as if you don't get the message already, say a police officer or firefighter is making $80,000 over his entire career, and that's not a crazy number at all if you average it out. If you average it 80, that's pretty accurate. And he puts in 10% or $8,000 a year in towards his pension. So $8,000 a year, 30 years. It's $240,000 that he's putting in, he or she. So if he starts at 25 and retires at 55 and lives to 85, the reality is he or she is making more retired within 10 years of retiring and until he's 85 as he did over the whole course of his career. He's making more money after 10 years retired than he did at any point in time in his career. At 85, that plan will pay out over $3 million in benefits for that one person that made $80,000 a year. One person. So, again, it's do the math. And since 2003, our unfunded police and fire liabilities have grown from $50 million to almost $185 million. And a lot of the arguments that we're hearing from representatives of police and fire is that if we would have just funded these things like we should have over all these years, there wouldn't be a problem. That's clearly not the case. I have reams of information about a lot of these pension sweeteners that have happened over the years that have made this increasingly more and more difficult. So remember, the council, when we negotiate salaries and contracts with our represented unions, police and fire especially, we don't negotiate the pensions. That's not, everybody would say, well, you guys negotiated with them, that's your fault. No, it's not our fault. That's all done legislatively in Springfield. Some people don't like it when I characterize it this way, but they've basically been given a caviar and champagne pension. And when it's time for the check, they just say, well, just go take it over there to the city councils, because that's who's going to pay the tab. And that means all of us. And maybe to that point, as long as we're throwing numbers out, since 2003, our required contributions, what the actuaries say we were required to put forward to pay our portion of the pensions, was $87 million. And the city actually paid in $95.6 million, $8.6 million more than our requirement, because the police and fire investments didn't meet where they were supposed to be. So you get how this works. You know, they contribute their part with the expectation that their investment's going to be this much. The city puts in this much because that's what our requirement is. Whatever that difference is between what they said they were going to make and what they were supposed to make, we have to make up that difference. It's really flawed. Now, I didn't want to spend probably this much time on this, but I really can't, and I know Councilman Weaver's here, there's other folks here. I don't think that there's any other single issue that is driving us into a hole quicker than what our unfunded pension liabilities are, and that's around the state. And we're one of the leaders in the state of Illinois in terms of making our required contributions over the years. So it's really something that's obviously why Mayor spent 2 days in Springfield this way trying to reinforce that. Dave gets it, so I didn't see Dave while I was down there, but David understands that, and Dave gets it. Senator Hood understands that. We have to work on the others. Maybe just really quick, just so I'm not perceived or the mayors aren't perceived as people that are down there saying, hey, state legislators, you guys created this problem. You're the guys that dug this hole for us to get out of. Better fix it and walk away. You know, we did present people down in Springfield with some concepts that we think we should be able to hopefully work through and get us to a position where we can start to right that ship. You know, look, everybody in this community loves our public safety guys. I do too. It's probably no secret in this room that my brother is the president for the Firefighters Union. For those of you who didn't know that, yeah, come on over for Thanksgiving dinner. But no, we do. We love those guys. They seriously, not a whole lot of men and women want a career where they put their lives on the line every day when they strap up their boots and go to work. And we're not putting that lightly. They deserve a good pension. They do. They do tough work. They do vigorous, grinding, hard work, and they deserve a good pension. But that pension's not going to be there if we don't get this under control. And that's all we're saying is this isn't a personal fight between elected officials and police officers and firefighters. But they were the beneficiaries of a lot of gifts from Springfield. We can't pay for it. So if we don't address this now, when we say unsustainable, do the numbers or get an actuary to talk to you and explain it to you. It's crashing, man, and it's going to happen soon. We want to address some of these things before that happens because we want them to have a retirement that's dependable and that's fair. Their COLA, their cost of living adjustment, is 3% compounded every year. So, you know, we're saying, well, get rid of the compounding part. I mean, 3% a year is a lot more than a lot of us on the private side have gotten for a number of years. Maybe raise their contribution from 10% to consolidate these 660 pension boards. Way too many people doing the same thing and taking their administrative cut off the top, which puts less money in the pension. Increase the retirement age. Nobody wants 60-year-old cops and firefighters. That's going to kill you on the work comp side.
You just heard portions of audio from Peoria Mayor Jim Artis earlier this month, speaking to Peoria Downtown Rotary Club members about the state's pension crisis and the possible effects it could have on the city. This is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Alex Ruciano, sitting in for News Director Tanya Kuntz today on 89.9 WCBU Peoria Public Radio. Stay tuned for the live broadcast of the Peoria City Council meeting next. Local broadcast of tonight's Peoria City Council meeting is made possible by a grant from the City of Peoria.